BBC and BFI present. In an artist's studio, an old man places a mug of tea by the side of his drawing desk, grabs a pencil, and sits down. Positioning a magnifying lamp over a blank page, he brings pencil to paper. Ethel and Ernest, based on the graphic novel by Raymond Briggs.
There was nothing extraordinary about my mum and dad. Nothing dramatic. No divorce or anything. But they were my parents, and I wanted to remember them by doing a picture book. It's a bit odd, really, having a book about my parents up there in the bestseller lists among all the football heroes and cookbooks. They'd be proud of that, I suppose, but probably rather embarrassed too. I imagine they would say, "It wasn't like that." Or, "How can you talk about that?" Well, I have, and this is their story.
Brenda Blethyn, Jim Broadbent, Luke Treadaway. An animation of London in 1928. An airplane swoops over the sprawling city, where the River Thames carves its way under bridges and past historic landmarks. In a bustling area some distance from the centre, a horse and cart makes its way down a narrow, cobbled street. A horse, led by its reins, defecates outside a doorway moments before it opens, and a young man, Ernest, steps out with his bicycle. Before leaving, he turns to the lady seeing him off.
Bye, Mum.
Bye, dear.
Ta-ta, old mate.
Ta-da.
He waves to the trader and cycles off.
Ta-da.
Monday. A maid's dusting furniture.
Hurry up with that dusting, Ethel. There's the fire to stoke and the beds to make.
Yes, madam, I won't be long.
Ernest cycles past a row of Georgian townhouses, just as Ethel opens a window to shake her dusting cloth. He rings his bell to get her attention, then doffs his cap with a smile. Taken aback, Ethel stares after him.
Ethel, aren't you finished yet?
Yes, madam. Sorry, madam.
She returns to her work in the grand property. Tuesday. Ernest cycles down the same road, and this time Ethel's on the lookout. She opens her window and waves at him.
Hey!
He doffs his cap and she blushes. Now it's Wednesday, and Ethel's at the window again, staring out into the rain.
Ethel! Where are you?
Coming, madam!
Just as Ethel steps away, Ernest appears on his bike, wearing a yellow rain cape. He stops and looks up in disappointment at the closed window before cycling off. Thursday, Ethel's at the window.
Ethel! Ethel!
She shuts the window and rushes off. Friday.
Yes, yes, I'm coming.
A man holding flowers in front of his face.
Hello, Duck.
Oh, it's you.
Thought I'd introduce myself. You've waved that blooming duster at me enough times.
Well, no, I didn't mean to. It was just that...
Name's Ernest.
Oh, I'm Ethel.
That's a nice name. Well, Ethel, how about coming to the pictures with me?
Oh, well, I am... Well, they've got lots for me to do.
What time you knock off?
I finish about 7.
Perfect. They're showing Hangman's House at the local.
You mean the coronation?
Yes, starts at 8. I can meet you there.
Thank you, but that would be very nice.
Grand. And these? They're for you.
Oh, they're lovely.
See you about 2:15 then.
Yes. Yes, I'll be there.
She shuts the door and breathes in the flowers.
Ernest.
In the evening, Ethel and Ernest are at the cinema, queuing to buy tickets.
Two, please.
Now they're sitting side by side in the packed, darkened auditorium, where an organist at the front plays along to the silent picture. Ernest whispers to Ethel.
Victor McLachlan.
Who's he?
Him up there.
My favourite.
He puts his arm around her. Later on, they're strolling down a neon-lit street in the West End when a car stops ahead of them and a doorman lets out two well-dressed couples who head into a music hall.
Oh, Ernest, that's going to sound wonderful.
Oh, blimey, eh? 5 shillings to get in.
Bit posh, if you ask me.
Tell you what, it's under a shilling at our church hall next Saturday. Are you on?
Oh, Ernest.
Daytime in a village. Cigarette in hand, Ernest takes a whiff of a rose in a front garden.
Lovely flowers, darling.
Oh, that's Dad. He's potty about the garden.
Did you all grow up here?
Yes, 11 of us. Bob, Beatty, Mag, Edie, me, Frank, Flo, Jesse, George, Joe and Bill.
God, blimey.
Come and meet Mum and Dad. Ernest, your tie. Want to make a good impression.
Oh, yes, darling.
George was killed in the war. Bob died as a baby and BT died at 2 and a half.
Poor little kiddies.
Hello, dear.
Mum, this is Ernest.
Very pleased to meet you, Mrs. Bowyer.
Night falls. Sharing an umbrella, Ernest and Ethel are waiting at a bus stop.
You haven't asked me to your home yet, dear.
Yeah, well, it's not as nice as yours, darling.
What do you mean, not as nice?
Well, there's scrap iron, rag and bone men. There's fights outside the pubs. Women too. The coppers won't go down there. The last one that did go, they bashed him up, then sat on him and blew his whistle to fetch more coppers.
Oh, Ernest.
It's not your cup of tea, darling.
In a luxuriously appointed room, Ethel's facing two haughty ladies.
Am I to understand that you wish to leave us?
Yes, madam.
To get married?
Yes, madam.
To a man?
Yes, madam.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing.
Ever so sorry, madam.
Ethel curtsies and shows herself out. Ernest's waiting outside.
Give us your box, darling.
Oh, I don't like leaving them. They're so helpless. They can't do a thing for themselves.
Serve them right. Bloated plutocrats.
There's no need to swear, Ernest.
What? Don't worry about them. They'll soon get another skivvy.
I was not a skivvy. I was a lady's maid. And what's more, I'm going to be married.
So am I.
Now, Ethel and Ernest are on a quiet street of terraced houses, staring at a property outside of which hangs a for sale sign.
Oh, it's lovely. But £825? Can we afford that mortgage business?
Yes, easy. I'll be getting 3 guineas a week soon. Besides, we've got 25 years. 1955. It'll be ours. A wrought iron gate, your ladyship?
You silly. Oh, and look, Ernest. A marble pillar.
Ernest unlocks the front door.
Oh, look at this.
They venture into the empty house.
Oh, Ernest. There's so much space. We could get those electric lights put in.
Yeah, nice and modern. Brother Fred's got a wireless. He can hear Germany.
Whatever would you want to hear Germany for? Oh, a French window. Oh, Ernest, there's a bathroom.
Blimey, a lab too.
Yeah, come along, Ernest.
Ernest flushes the loo.
Enormous bedroom. 4 windows in 1 room.
It'll cost a fortune for curtains.
Bit different to home, eh, darling? Lots of rooms for two people.
Perhaps there'll be more than two one day.
What? Lodgers, you mean?
No. This could be our baby's room.
Nice and warm over the kitchen.
Let's get rid of this old range.
Oh, this boiler came out of the ark.
They find a black cat in the back garden.
Hello, Puss.
A fair bit of garden, more than down home.
Oh, I've always wanted my own bit of garden.
Good little shed for my bike and workshop.
Yeah, mind you keep it tidy.
Now don't you start bossing me about before we get married.
Oh, Ernest, I can't believe it.
We'll have a kitchen and a scullery.
A sitting room and a dining room.
A garden and a shed.
Don't forget the hall.
And the bathroom. Luxury!
Outside a church.
Yes, that's it. Hold your hat there if you could. That's it, lovely. That's it, Mrs. Briggs, lovely. Very nice. Now hold there. Hold it there, big smiles. We'll have one more of those.
Go on, Ern. Let's see a kiss for the bride.
Go on, Ern.
Sharing a kiss, the newlyweds are showered with rice.
Yeah, one more, please, everybody.
In Ethel and Ernest's bedroom, sheets hang as makeshift curtains. There's no furniture save for a couple of chairs and the mattress they're sleeping on.
Isn't the bedroom huge?
We'll need some cases under the bed for our clothes.
A wardrobe, Ernest.
Oh yes, of course.
Ernest's pushing his milkman's cart down his street. Reaching his house, he finds Ethel scrubbing the front step. Focused on her task, she keeps her head down as he grabs a bottle and walks up to her.
Good morning, madam. How may I today, please?
Just you keep off my clean step, young man. Ernest.
I've got a round that finishes down our road, Ed.
That's nice, dear.
I shall be done about 12. Then I can get going on that old range.
I'll be glad to see the back of that thing.
It's a pig duck.
One of those nice new gas cookers. That's what we need.
He pries the top off.
Careful, Ernest.
Whoa! Any old iron, old iron. You look neat. Talk about a treat. You look dapper from your nappy.
Ernest, don't sing those dreadful Cockney songs.
Dressed in style, brand new darling, your father's old green tie on. But I wouldn't give you double for your old watch chain. Old iron, that little ladder. All right.
He knocks down the exhaust shaft.
Oh!
That's done the job.
In the master bedroom.
Hey, see? Smashing bed. Nearly new. Mahogany, I think. Good springs, look. Newlyweds need good springs. Come and try it out, darling.
Certainly not, Ernest. It's broad daylight.
I finished the new draining board, darling.
Oh, lovely.
Fits over the edge. Removable before cleaning.
What with that and the new cooker?
We're in clover. There. Bang on. It says here, over 2 million unemployed. I'm lucky to be a milkman, eh?
I hate coal under the stairs. Coal dust gets everywhere and it's so common.
Ah, I'll build a brick bunker in the garden then.
That'd be lovely.
What do you reckon, eh?
Oh, Ernest, it's far too big. I'll make some nice loose covers.
Came out of a posh hotel. A bargain.
I've made a curtain for under the tank. It'll hide the pipes.
I'll keep my outdoor clothes there. The pipes will dry them off.
Oh, but your coat smell of stale milk, Ernest.
Yeah, sorry.
Do you think you'll ever be promoted?
No blooming fear. Not me. Yard foreman. Stuck in a tin shed all day, adding up rows of figures. Blow that for a lark. I like the fresh air.
I could have married a deep sea diver.
Well, why didn't you?
Because I didn't love him.
Two years later, a picture of a baby hangs over the bed.
Why'd you keep that picture of a baby on the wall?
Why do you think?
Well, it's not a relative, is it?
We've been married over 2 years. I'll soon be 37.
He goes to comfort her.
Hey, don't cry.
I'm sorry.
Oh. Shush. I know.
On a rainy evening, Ernest buys a newspaper outside Wimbledon Park Station.
TV standard! Thank you!
Hitler wins power in Germany!
Here, Rich.
Standard!
TV standard!
Oh, Lord.
Thank you! Hitler wins power in Germany!
At the breakfast table.
This bloke, Adolf Hitler, says they're publishing his book over here. Mein Kampf, it's called.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Huh? Ernest throws a glance at Ethel, then returns to his newspaper. While Ethel sweeps outside, Ernest places an ornate mirror on the mantelpiece.
Ed! Surprise, dear.
Oh.
New mirror.
It's lovely. However did you get it home?
I walked it back on my bike pedal.
How much was it?
Only half a dollar. I got it off a Didikoi down home.
I've got a surprise for you, too.
Oh, yes?
I've been to, the doctor.
Oh, and? You mean...
Yeah.
We're going to... Yeah. Yippee!
I can't believe it!
Oh, Ed!
Blue skies around the corner.
Happy birthday, darling.
Oh, Ernest. And your cards, they get bigger every year. This one's all padded. But my best present isn't due until January.
More tea, Ed.
Won't you feel happy?
Under the full moon and a gentle snowfall, Ernest is out doing his milk round. Meanwhile, at home, Ethel's giving birth.
One more push and then it's big. Very good.
Goodness gracious me, what a fuss. You're late, the neighbours saw you in.
Ernest swaps empty bottles for full ones on someone's doorstep, then looks across the street and notices a car parked outside his house.
Oh, my God. Ed! Wait!
He rushes over, skidding on the pavement. Bursting into the house, he stops to catch his breath, then runs up to the landing and comes face to face with the midwife.
Steady now, Mr. Briggs. You will surely not be bringing those bottles into the bathroom.
Sorry, Miss... Madam, nurse, is she...
It's a boy.
Is she...
Mother is well.
Get as much rest as you can now, Mrs. Briggs. Baby is doing fine.
Thank you, Doctor.
Hello, Doctor. Ed?
Oh, Ernest.
Oh. When was it?
About 5.
I was just doing Ashen Grove. I nearly ran out of Stellarized. How'd you feel? You look done in.
Tired.
It's all red.
Hey. It's a hay.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Briggs, a word?
Yes, Doctor.
Stepping out.
It was touch and go.
Oh?
Your wife is 38. There had better not be any more.
But we wanted a proper family.
More children, no more wife. I'm sorry. Good day to you.
The doctor shows himself out. Hearing the baby crying, Ernest's worried expression turns to a smile.
Wait a bit, Ed. Don't want the nappies in the picture. That's it. Hold it. I don't have to tell you to smile.
He snaps a photo, which later sits framed in the dining room.
This MP's pleading that working-class flats should be built with bathrooms. Labour MP, of course.
They always say if you give the working class a bath, they keep the coal in it.
Oh, yeah? I haven't noticed much coal in our bath.
Ernest, we are not working class.
A woman's at the door.
Oh, it's you.
Hello, Rick. I've come to see the baby.
Come in.
Oh, how are you, ducks?
Ernest, it's your stepmother. Again?
Hello, Mum.
I brought you a couple of bottles of stout and some coal.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mum. No need.
Now, where's my little boy? Oh, ain't he grown?
This is the BBC in London.
What?
There now follows the news.
German Chancellor Adolf Hitler announced today new laws that will forbid Jews remaining as German citizens.
Here, Ern, turn that blessed wireless thing off. I don't want that man to hear what I'm saying.
Prime Minister Ethel and Ernest stifle their laughter as he turns off the radio. Nighttime. Ernest's awake in bed.
Here, Ed. Did you know if you're a Jew in Germany, you're forbidden to marry a German?
I'd hate to marry a German.
No.
Daytime. Ernest's reading the newspaper.
Phew, this gas copper's a real luxury. Just turn the tap and strike a match.
BBC's going to start television later this year.
What's that when it's at home?
Well, it looks like a wireless set with pictures on top of it.
Moving pictures? Talkies?
Yeah. It'll be like going to the pictures without going out.
What? You just sit and look at it?
Yeah.
Ooh. Suppose it might be all right for the gentry.
In the garden, the wind blows as Ethel hangs some washing. The baby's crying in his pram.
Let's see that nappy then. Another lot of washing.
It says the average family needs £6 a week to keep it above the poverty line.
What's the poverty line?
I don't know. Just wish I earned £6 a week. What with the nipper growing up so fast?
Ernest lights a roll-up. Ethel and Ernest are out in a park with Raymond, who's grown into a young boy.
Hey! That's the way to do it, boys, eh?
Ernest is getting such a big boy.
No, he's not. He's skinny like me.
Wiry, Ernest. And tall. And lovely hair. All those curls. Oh, look, that's new. They're serving teas in the balcony. There's waitresses in aprons and caps.
Looks a bit posh. Maybe some other time, eh, dear?
Yes. Some other time.
Ernest returns home and finds Ethel crying in the lounge.
Whatever's up, darling? What are you crying for?
I've had it done.
What? What?
His hair.
Eh?
They've cut it all off. His beautiful curls.
Well, blimey, it's got to be done, eh? We can't have him running round like a blooming girl all his life. He's not a baby anymore. He'll be off to school in no time.
I know!
Hello, Boise.
What's wrong with Mum?
Another look at his shorn head sets her off again. Raymond's running home.
Mum! Mum! Raymond, dear, shouldn't you be in school? You mustn't come home in the middle of the day. Did you cross that main road? God, you must have done.
I can't find the sit-down lavatories.
You can't find the... We showed you them.
No, they're girls. Girls sit down.
No, there's boys sitting downs as well.
No, there isn't. It's all girls. Look out. I want to go number two.
To the neighbour.
Nice day again, Mrs. Bennett.
Yes, lovely, Mrs. Briggs.
Ethel retreats back inside. Ernest's listening to the radio.
Deutschland, ein Volk und ein Reich, an
Sounds like that Hitler's on the warpath good and proper. Just hark at them. They're all balmy.
Our George was killed in the last one.
And Brother Tom.
It doesn't seem all that long ago. Our poor old mother never got over it.
She gazes out at Raymond playing in the garden. The family are at the seaside.
This television is going to be on 1.5 hours every evening.
Dreadful. It'd be like going to the pictures every day.
Blimey, there's a photo here of the Duke and Duchess of Windsor shaking hands with Hitler.
Oh, it can't be so bad then.
Raymond tops his sandcastle with a Union Jack.
Look, Mum.
The Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain returned from Germany today and spoke to crowds at Heston Airport with the promise of peace.
I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine.
Cure it. Old Chamberlain is giving Hitler half of Czechoslovakia.
Oh, yes.
He says it's peace with honour. Peace in our time.
Thank goodness for that. But don't you want that bit of toast, Ernest?
No. No, thanks, dear.
A sandwich board bears the headline, Nazis March on Prague.
Baby standard!
It's all in.
A gloomy Ernest buys a copy and returns home.
You there, Ed?
I'm here.
Hitler's marched into Prague now. He'll be coming down our road soon.
Adolf Hitler in Wimbledon Park?
He says here the government is going to spend £200,000 on air raid shelters. Better get ourselves ready.
Not on the table, Ernest. It's going to be very stuffy with all this blackout up, Ernest.
Not half as stuffy as a gas-proof room would be.
Poison gas? Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
You have to bung up the chimney, tape over the cracks around the doors and windows, put wet newspapers in between the floorboards. It's all right, old Barney.
Oh, Raymond, behave. This isn't a game, you know.
Underneath the spreading chestnut tree, Mr. Chamberlain said to me,
if you want your gas mask fitted free, join the blinking ARP.
Wearing a gas mask.
Read this booklet until you know by heart what it contains.
Oh, I wish I had a proper gas mask carrier. Not a soppy old cardboard box and string. It's not fair.
Ernest, can you hear me?
No.
Who can?
Be quiet, son.
Can you beat it? IRA bombs in London, Manchester and Birmingham.
When will it end?
Oh, those Irish. They're just like the blessed Arabs and Jews, always at it.
Yes, and don't forget the Serbs and Croats. They're just as bad. Then there's the Hindus and the Muslims.
Why can't they all just be like us and live in peace?
We interrupt this broadcast with an announcement from the Prime Minister in London.
I am speaking to you from the cabinet room of 10 Downing Street.
Underneath the spreading chestnut tree.
Good morning. It's the Prime Minister.
Mr. Chamberlain said to me,
ended the German government a final note stating that unless we heard from them by 11 o'clock, that they were prepared at once to withdraw their troops from Poland, a state of war would exist between us. I have to tell you now that no such undertaking has been received, and that consequently this country is at war with Germany.
Blimey, Duck. This is it.
Mum?
Raymond takes refuge in his mother's arms, and Ernest stands behind Ethel, one hand on her shoulder, the other stroking Raymond's head. Their surroundings fade into darkness as a single shaft of light shines upon them. listening to the radio.
The government announced today that 1.5 million children are to be evacuated. Children living in big cities and towns are to be moved temporarily from their homes.
No, they're not taking ours away.
Of course they are.
No, they're not. Over my dead body.
It'll be over his dead body then. Is that what you want?
No, Ernest.
Well, that's exactly what will happen. He's got to go. Oh, sorry, darling. Come on. Don't cry. Don't cry, love.
Raymond's watching from the hallway. In a busy train station, a worried-looking Raymond's flanked by his parents, holding their hands as they walk along a platform. Ernest opens a carriage door, and Ethel kneels down next to Raymond.
Let you be a good boy now, Raymond.
Come on, then. Up you go, son. That's it. Bye, son. We'll send you some things in the post.
Stand clear now.
I know, I know.
A guard waves his flag and the train departs.
Bye, son.
Raymond presses his face to the window of his compartment as his parents wave him off. Ethel takes a few steps forward, then stops, overwhelmed.
It's cold. It's cold.
Don't cry, darling. You'll be safe down the country.
It's only 5.
Ernest holds Ethel tight as the train rolls away, leaving a plume of smoke in its wake. At home, a letter is delivered. Ethel picks it up from the front doormat and brings it to the dining room, where Ernest is reading the paper.
Ernest! Ernest, it must be from Raymond. Yes, yes. Dear Mum and Dad, Auntie Flo and Auntie Betty are very nice ladies. Oh, look, he's done some drawings too. I sleep on a camp bed in Auntie Flo's bedroom. Oh, poor little mite.
I get the milk in a can. It is not in bottles because it is cows. Milk not in bottles? Blimey.
I rode on a cart horse's back when we got the hay. I nearly did the splits. Yours sincerely, Raymond.
Yours sincerely.
A drawing of a cow concludes the letter. Ernest's building a bomb shelter in the back garden.
Mind my Auntie Rhinum's, Ernest. I hope you know what you're doing.
Aye? Of course not. You just wait.
Later on.
That's it. All done.
Is that it? Finished? Is it really bomb-proof?
We'll have to wait and see.
At night, the cat wanders over to the shelter. Inside, the floor is flooded with about 6 inches of water.
Russia's invaded Finland now.
I thought they'd invaded Poland.
Yes, they have.
But you said Germany's invaded Poland.
Yes, that's right.
Well, who was it invaded Czechoslovakia?
Germany.
Well, Germany's always invading someone.
I expect they'll invade Russia one day.
God, blimey, not likely. They're in league.
Or Russia will invade Germany.
Oh, don't be daft.
Well, if they all keep invading one another, we'll end up invading someone.
Oh, wait, you just don't understand politics.
Oh, now look, blessed shelter.
Their candles dropped into the water. In the morning.
Do you think they ever will come down our road, Ernest?
I expect it'll be okay. They say Hitler's assured Holland and Belgium of his friendship.
Oh, that's nice.
What do you think? It's all right, eh?
I thought firemen had those nice brass helmets with curly tops.
Nah, blokes been getting electrocuted in those. At last, Churchill's taken over. Blood, toil, tears and sweat.
Ernest, don't. Disgusting.
It's your gentry talking, his words, not mine.
Yes, but he was talking to the common people. He wouldn't use words like that in his own home.
What General Vagon has called the Battle of France is over. The Battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. The whole fury and might of the enemy must very soon be turned on us. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. We can stand up to him, all Europe may be freed, and the life of the world may move forward into broad, sunlit upland. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty. So bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
Ethel and Ernest are wearing hopeful smiles.
Broad, sunlit uplands.
Good old Winston. Our finest hour.
They stare out of their living room window as two men remove the front gate and load it into a truck filled with metal objects.
They're starting to take away our nice gate and railings.
I'll make a wooden gate.
It's a shame.
They want saucepans too. They make them into Spitfires.
Funny to think of our front gate being a Spitfire.
A spinning bike wheel in the back of the truck turns into a Spitfire's propeller. A faint band of daylight lines the horizon as a string of fighter planes take off and ascend into the pitch-black night sky. Higher up, German bombers break through the clouds and drop their payload over London. Explosions rock the banks of the River Thames. St. Paul's Cathedral radiates with the glow of surrounding fires, and firemen battle to put out a blaze when a bomb detonates nearby in a burst of white light. Daytime. Barrage balloons hang over Ethel and Ernest's house, which has suffered severe damage. Policemen are clearing up the rubble.
Front door's halfway up the stairs. It's spoiled my loose covers.
An ambulance drives past.
Could have been worse, eh? We got off light.
Glad Raymond was well clear of all this.
Perhaps when we've got this mess cleared up, we could take a trip down to Dorset and give him a visit.
In the peaceful Dorset countryside.
Mum! Dad! Look at me! Look!
Raymond, be careful, dear.
No need to worry about him, Ethel. He's got quite used to things now.
A pigsty.
Oh, lovely country smells, eh, Boise?
Are the pigs like that because of the blackout?
Oh, wait.
A pig mounts another.
Come along, Raymond. We've seen the pigs.
He's fitted into the school very well, hasn't he, Flo? It's as if he's always been here.
Oh, good.
Mum, the boys at school all have boots.
They're common boys, Ethel, from Lambeth and Bermondsey.
Can I have boots?
Certainly not, Raymond.
Watching Raymond playing outside.
I've always dreamed of a cottage in the country.
Down here, it's hard to believe there's a war on. Come on, please.
Back at home, Ernest's assembling a massive cage in the dining room.
That Mr. Morrison and his soppy shelter ruined my nice dining room.
Government precautions, dear. Still, at least we won't have to go out into the cold.
You look like you're in the zoo.
I'll paint it brown to tone in with the furniture.
A nice pastel brown, Ernest.
At night, they're both lying in the shelter.
Blimey.
What?
Germany's invaded Russia.
I wish I'd betted you sixpence.
Oh, night, dear.
Night.
He blows out a candle.
Singing in the bathtub.
Ernest traces a line in the bath.
Ernest, what on earth are you doing with that ruler?
Marking 5 inches. You're only allowed 5 inches of water.
But if you were fat, it'd be higher up.
Yeah, well, the king's done it at Buckingham Palace.
It's not fair, fat people getting a deeper bath.
They say you're supposed to share the bath too, darling.
Disgusting.
We share ours.
But not at the same time.
He takes a drag on his cigarette. It's nighttime as a swarm of German bombers cross the British coastline. In London, Ernest and fellow firemen are in the thick of it, battling the mayhem.
Jerry's got a direct hit! Those buildings are gonna topple!
Is there anyone in them?
Don't know! Hope to God not!
Fritz, over here! On the left there! Drop that window!
As they tackle a blaze with their fire hose, a building behind them topples over.
Watch out!
It collapses over Ernest. The next morning, Ernest is slumped by the dining table, still in his fireman's outfit. He's unharmed, but in a state of shock. Ethel returns home.
Oh, at last! Are you all right?
Tired. Been in the docks. 14 hours.
Here. Let me get your boots off.
There. Loads of dead. Little kiddie. All in bits. I had to...
He looks at his hands and breaks down.
Oh, there, there. Have a good cry.
She holds him tight as he sobs on her shoulder. Now he's reading the paper while she puts up Christmas decorations.
God, this Beveridge report. Sickness pay, unemployment pay, old age pensions, kiddies' welfare, free medicines, free hospitals.
Don't read, Ernest. Help.
Social security from the cradle to the grave. The welfare state. It's what the workers have always fought for. We won!
It'll have to be paid for.
Of course it will. We all chip in, that's the whole idea.
You can't chip in if you're out of work or off sick or on a pension.
No, well, of course not. It's all got to be worked out. It's the economics, see? Economics will see to it. There. All done.
Ethel hugs a parcel.
Oh, Ernest.
I know.
In the cottage, the parcel is sitting by Raymond's side as he doodles away and munches on a pear.
Auntie Flo?
Yes, dear?
I wish I could sleep in my own bed again.
Of course you do, dear. Mr. Hitler's on the run now, Raymond. I'm sure you'll be back in London soon enough. There. All done.
A Christmas cake topped with a snowman. In London.
You there?
What's up, Ed?
Dearest, I've been promoted. Clerk, grade B3.
Oh, no more packing parcels in that rotten freezing warehouse.
No, I'm going to work in an office.
And that's not all it. Look, a letter from our boy. They reckon he can come home now.
Oh, Ernest.
In an allotment, Ernest's watching over Raymond, who's digging into a patch of soil.
That's it, son. Dig, 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 feel your muscles getting big.
Keep on pushing in the spade. The turnip tops, the potatoes and the carrots cannot sprout without your aid.
Don't mind the worms, just ignore the squirms when your back aches love with glee. And keep on digging till we give our foes a wigging. Dig, dig, dig to victory.
Way!
Cup of tea, boysy.
Thanks, Dad.
That country air has got you fit.
Hearing something, Ernest freezes.
Dad?
Come on, son! Down the shelter! Run!
Get cover!
Doodlebug! Get down, son! Get down!
They dive to the ground.
Engine's cut out. Christ, it's coming down!
The flying bomb swoops over their heads and crashes. The blast showers them with soil. Lying over Raymond, Ernest opens his eyes.
Cool. That was close.
I didn't know they were bright blue underneath, Dad.
Come on, son. Shelter. Before any more of the blighters come over. We better get you back down the country tomorrow.
A pitch black night. A flash of a distant explosion picks out the London skyline. Ethel and Ernest are in bed, in the shelter.
Crikey, dear. Sounds like a lot got through tonight.
He holds her close under the covers.
I can't hear anything.
Hold tight, duck.
The next morning, Ernest's clearing up broken glass. The back doors have been knocked out of their frame.
Some shelter full of glass. Morrison Shelters. That Mr. Morrison must be a proper twerp.
Good job the boy wasn't in it. He's only been gone 2 days.
Some rambling roses.
The old Dorothy Perkins is still in bloom. She survived.
Bet he didn't take his teddy with him.
Oh, Ernest. How much more of this is there going to be?
Shards of glass protrude from Raymond's teddy bear. Flags and bunting adorn the houses on Ethel and Ernest's road, where the neighbourhood has gathered for a street party. A couple is dancing. Ethel's sitting with Raymond at a long table, and Ernest's by the piano, swigging his pint.
Ernest!
What?
Careful, that's your second glass of beer!
Victory in Europe, eh?
Yeah! Ethel offers Raymond a slice of cake.
A dog that's lost his tail.
I lost my boy.
Yeah. I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry, I forgot. Sorry.
Ernest remains by Arthur's side as they watch everyone enjoying the celebrations. Later on, Ernest's in the back garden, staring at an orange sky and basking in the soft light of the evening sun.
There'll never be another war.
Jesse's Bob is still fighting the Japs, don't forget. And you can knock this thing down. When I finish tidying it.
Now Raymond's in the garden, toying with a seedling in a small pot.
Look, it's come up.
What's that, son?
A pear tree. Auntie Flo gave me the pip from a pear we ate.
Better not get too big, it'll block out all the light.
Don't discourage the boy, Ernest. I like a nice pear.
A newspaper headline reads, Labour wins.
Gully! Labour's won! We're in!
Such a shame for poor Mr. Churchill.
The working man will be all right now. At last!
They saved our bacon in the war.
Bloody marvellous!
Ernest, Mr. Churchill never swears. He's a gentleman.
I'm Labour, Mum.
Shush, dear.
It is now estimated that casualties from the atomic bomb dropped on the city of Hiroshima could exceed 100,000 dead.
100,000 dead from one bomb.
Well, at least it'll put paid to wars.
Why? Why?
Well, you can't fight a war with bombs like that.
Why not?
Everyone'd be dead the first day.
He rubs his neck, considering her words. A postman delivers a letter. Ethel picks it up from the front doormat.
He's passed the scholarship. He's going to the grammar school.
Mm. Well, I hope he won't get too posh for us.
Oh, Ernest.
In a shop, Ethel's with Raymond, who's having a school uniform fitted.
And there we are. Now, turn around, Sonny. Show Mummy.
Oh, Raymond, you do look smart. Oh, wait a minute.
She licks her handkerchief.
Can't have a dirty face, can we? Not at the grammar school.
Quite so, madam.
Languages, eh?
Oh, yes. He has to do French and Latin and maths.
Oh, like arithmetic?
No, not just arithmetic. It's called algebra.
Oh. And sport? Does he do his football?
Oh, no. They play rugger.
Ethel?
Oh, sorry, must go.
You shouldn't go on about it, Mrs. Bennett, dear.
Why not?
Well, her boy didn't get in anywhere. He's a bricklayer now.
I don't see why I shouldn't be proud of my own son.
Yeah, well, okay.
Ernest's got a brand new milk truck. He climbs in and drives to his house. Raymond runs out excitedly.
What do you reckon?
Smashing, Dad!
It's electric, son.
I hope you can keep control of it, Ernest.
Can I have a go on it?
Just you keep away from it. It's dangerous.
See you later.
He drives off.
Bye!
He pulls up outside a house and climbs out to grab a bottle. A man smoking a cigarette on his doorstep.
Hello, Ern.
Hello, Elf.
So,
how goes it in?
Oh, not good. Me old lady, she's getting a bit much.
Oh? Rows, you mean? Money?
No. You know, the other.
Hmm?
It's the change. She's on the change. Too demanding. Do you know what I mean?
I can't cope. It's too much for me.
So, if you ever fancy, you know, you'd be doing me a favour.
Hey? What, you mean?
I'll be out next Saturday, football. Fulham's at home. So,
you mean you?
Yeah, like I say, you'd be doing me a favour.
Oh, blimey, no. No, mate, no, I couldn't. Sorry, no. I've got a barrow to push. No hard feelings.
Nor me neither.
Ta-da, Alf.
See you, Ern.
With a sigh, Alf heads back inside as the curtains are drawn shut at an upstairs window. At home, Ethel's cleaning the living room windows when a police van pulls up outside the house. Two officers step out, followed by a sorry-looking Raymond. Ethel stares through the window in disbelief. The officers escort Raymond to the front door as Ethel rushes out.
Mrs. Briggs?
Yes?
Detective Sergeant Burnley, CID.
Oh, no. Whatever is...
Your son was apprehended breaking and entering the golf club. and stealing valuable billiard cues.
No.
He's lucky. This time we're letting him off with a caution. In you go, sunshine. Next time it will be Borstal.
No. No, it's not possible. He goes to grammar school.
Mrs. Bennett's peeping out from her house. Ethel rushes back in, furious.
You wicked, wicked boy! I could kill you!
Sorry, Mum.
How could you? Borstal! Borstal!
Whatever's going on? Well?
Ethel and Raymond share a look and carry on crying. In the back garden.
I see your boy came home in a police van.
Yes. Yes, he did, that's right. He's been helping the police with their investigations.
In a Black Mariah?
Yes. He reported some stolen property he found in the woods. The chief inspector said he was a very clever boy.
A miserable Raymond staring out of an upstairs window. A sheet of corrugated iron.
Look, more scrap Anderson. Oh, fits perfect. We'll own all the coal soon. They're going to nationalise it.
I bet we still have to pay for it.
Of course we'll have to pay for it, you daft aper.
So we won't own it then, will we?
Well, not exactly, but it means the profits will go to the government instead of lining the pockets of the bosses.
And then the government gives the money to us?
No.
So what's the difference then?
Sure, 50,000 GI brides going to America. The kid is with them too.
Children? But they're not married.
Yeah, well, I expect some of them jumped the gun a bit. You know what they say about the Yanks? One Yank and they're down.
What a down?
Well, I don't know. It's just a saying.
Ethel and Ernest are cycling through idyllic countryside. He doffs his hat as he speeds down a hill. Later, they're taking a break. Ethel's lying in the grass with Ernest by her side, reading the paper.
It's going to be 1,000 miles of motorway. A terrific network.
What about the green belt? All that lovely country.
Yeah, well, it'll bypass it, I expect.
I thought you said there were going to be lots of bypasses already.
Yeah, well, so there are. It will bypass the bypasses then.
And what about the ring roads?
Look, it will bypass the ring roads and bypass the bypasses.
And bypass the green belt?
Yes, and bypass the green belt.
That's all right then. Only it does seem a bit of a muddle.
Church bells ring in a distant village. Ernest's at the table when Ethel appears, letter in hand.
He's passed! He's passed the school certificate. It says he's matriculated or something.
Is that good?
Well, of course it's good.
What does it mean?
I don't know what it means. Not our place to know.
Mrs. Bennett's sweeping her front yard when Ernest returns from work.
Morning, Mr. Briggs.
Lovely morning.
Ernest enters the house to find Ethel crying on the stairs.
Whatever's the matter, dear?
He says he wants to leave the grammar school and go to art school.
Art school? Oh, blimey.
Such a shame. He could have gone to Oxford and Cambridge and got a nice job in an office.
He could have been a foreman or even maybe a manager.
At night, they're both sitting in bed.
There's no money in it. He'll never earn a living at it.
That lot's all long hair, drink and nude women.
Oh, Ernest.
Daytime.
It was confirmed today that Russia has exploded its first atomic bomb. The test took place in a remote area of Kazakhstan, and it is believed...
Russia explodes an atomic bomb. Oh, blimey. It's been and gone and done it.
Ernest, do speak properly.
Raymond, now a teenager, steps into the back garden with a portfolio under his arm. Ernest's washing his face in the kitchen sink.
Dad, when you come home from work, why don't you wash in the bathroom?
Blimey, son, I'm filthy, look.
Yes, I know, but that's what the bathroom is for.
No, I couldn't wash in the bathroom. Not in this state.
But this is the kitchen, Dad. Mum cooks in here.
No, I couldn't, son. Not in the bathroom.
Oh, Dad.
Hello, dear. Had a good day at college. Oh, what's up with him?
They call it adolescence, dear. They don't understand.
That laundrette is a godsend. I did the whole blessed lot for 2 and 9, and it's all bone dry.
I could get an electric thermostat for the tank. Hot water in the summertime, all modern.
Electric thermostat, electric fridge, electric milk float. My old mum and dad never knew the meaning of the word.
What word, that?
Electric. Down home, there was nothing electric in the whole blessed house. We all grew up all right.
Two of you died as children, dear.
What's that got to do with electric?
Well, it's progress, eh? Scientific. It's scientific progress. Blimey, what's this? Meat ration to be cut by tuppence? That's the lowest it's ever been, and 6 years after the end of the war.
We had more meat under Mr. Churchill.
Yeah, all right.
Middle of the Blitz, we had more meat.
Yes.
Battle of Britain.
All right.
You can't blame Hitler now.
No!
Just your Labour government.
A few years later, a young lady with a portfolio under her arms waiting outside the house for Raymond.
Bye, Mum.
Wearing sandals, he pops a beret over his shaggy hair.
Just look at the pair of them. Her in black stockings. And just look at his hair.
Well, they're art students, dear. He'll grow out of it when he gets a proper job.
You'll never get a proper job with hair like that.
Mrs. Bennett waves from her front yard. Ethel smiles back, then draws her curtains shut.
God, blimey. There's a candidate here in the general election. Not only is she a woman, but she's 26. I'm old enough to be her father. And she's a Tory. What is the world coming to?
I thought your Labour believed in equal rights for everybody.
Well, yeah, of course, but blimey.
She's old enough to be married, have a baby, go to work, drive a car, be in the army, fly a plane in the war.
Yeah, but blimey, I'd like to see her do my job.
Well, she doesn't want your job. She wants to be an MP. She's educated.
And I'm not, I suppose.
Well, no, you're not educated, are you, dear? Nor am I. We couldn't be MPs.
Oh.
Who wants to be an MP anyway, eh?
Reading the paper.
Cheese ration cut to 1 ounce. 7 years after the war, 1 ounce. Not enough for a mousetrap. There's your Tory government for you. Look, you're Mr. Churchill's cheese.
I hope you washed your hands before touching that cheese.
Raymond opens a letter.
It's my call-up papers. Huh? I'm going into the Royal Corps of Signals.
Well, don't you go and get sent to that Korean War.
Oh, that's all over by the shouting.
It isn't. Mrs. Hammond's boy, Michael, was killed there only last week.
Blimey, was he? He used to help me on the milk round when he was a nipper.
He was just 19.
Head shaved and in uniform.
Then, when you come to attention... Attention! You have to slam your boot down so hard the blood spurts through the lace holes.
Oh, don't, dear.
It's true, Mum.
Are you going to do parachute jumping, son?
No. I'm going to be a draftsman in an office.
Oh, good. That's nice. An office. And thank goodness you've had a proper haircut at last. Mrs. Morgan's boy's going to be an officer.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you want to be an officer, dear?
Not likely, Mum. They want head boys, team captains, prefects, preferably public school. I'm just a common little suburban grammar school oik.
Oh, but the uniform is so much nicer, dear. And you could wear nice brown shoes, boots. They're so common.
Ernest and Ethel are staring at a telephone on their living room table.
Our very own phone. Who would have believed it?
You... Dear, what shall I do if it rings when you're out?
Well, answer it, you daft ape.
I don't think I like it. Ah! Oh, quick, 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 Ernest, it's going off!
Hello? Yes?
No. All right. Goodbye. The wrong number, dear.
The light from a television set illuminates the Briggs' living room. On screen, a program's end credits are rolling.
Oh, Ernest, it's just like the pictures.
Yes, we might get Victor McLagan.
He's dead.
They could still put him on.
Oh, I prefer Tyrone Power. He's more modern. You get it, Ernest.
Ernest gets up to answer the phone, but it stops ringing.
Blessed thing.
Raymond's trying to kickstart a scooter.
Fancy our little boy having a motorbike.
It's a scooter, Ed. Lambretta. They're Italian.
He's far too young for motorbikes. And I see it's back to the long hair already.
Well, he's demobbed now, dear.
Raymond speeds off.
Cheerio, Mum! Cheerio, Dad!
Bye, son!
Ethel wipes clean one of Raymond's framed certificates before placing it back on the wall.
He's got 3 certificates now.
Yeah, but they're only art certificates, eh? They won't get him a job.
One is from London University.
Yeah, I know, but...
He can put letters after his name. Just like a doctor.
The Black Cat.
Hello, Susie.
They're sitting in deck chairs in the back garden.
He says they're wanting to legalise homosexuality.
Oh? What's that?
Well, you know, it's like 2 blokes. Only instead of with a woman, sort of with one another, like.
I don't know what you're rambling on about, Ernest, and I don't think you do either.
I'll put the kettle on, shall I, Duck? Nice cup of tea.
With a tut, Ethel carries on knitting. Ethel's in the lounge, knitting, when Ernest quietly sneaks up to the window behind her and pulls back the curtain.
Surprise, dear!
What?
Hey, presto!
Mind? The sun will fade me loose covers.
Look!
What?
You see anything?
No.
Nothing new? Different?
No.
That green car?
Well, what about it?
Triumph Herald. Wasn't there yesterday.
Well, there's always different cars stuck outside our house nowadays.
Well, that one's special.
What's special about it?
It's ours!
Oh, don't be daft, Ernest.
Come on, dear. Get in.
Oh, I don't like to. I've still got my pinny on and I haven't done my hair.
Come on!
Is it really yours?
Ours, darling. Shut the door, we'll go for a spin.
They drive off, and soon they're cruising through the countryside. Ethel shakes her head.
I didn't know you could drive a proper car.
He laughs and accelerates. The car zooms through an intersection and down a country lane. At home.
Letter from Raymond.
Crumbs! The average male manual worker earns £13.211 a week. Blimey, I must be below average then.
Oh, it doesn't apply to you, Ernest. You're not a manual worker. Oh, he's going to be a teacher.
Oh, good. That's a bit more regular.
It's in a college of art.
That's better. Thank God it's not just an art school.
Part-time.
Well, part-time's no good. That's more for women.
One day a week, look.
Blimey. I guess almost as much for one day as I get for the whole bloody week.
Ernest! Oh, see you on the 30th. I'll be bringing Jean with me.
Ernest's looking out the living room window.
Here they come, eh?
A mustachioed Raymond.
Hello, Mum. Dad. This is Jean.
Hello, Jean.
Hello. Hello, dear. Don't Oh, look at you. Here's a comb.
Mum, I haven't seen you for a month. I've just brought my future wife to meet you. I do not want a comb.
Stung, Ethel returns it to her purse.
Right then. I'll, put the kettle on.
He leaves the three of them in an awkward silence. Later, in the dining room.
Sorry, Mum.
Oh, come and sit down, dear. Lovely to see you. And you too, Jane.
Jean, Mum. I thought you'd like,
Oh, thank you, dear. Whatever is it?
It's a bottle of wine, Mum.
Wine? Oh, dear, I don't know.
Got a corkscrew anywhere?
Wine. Oh, dear.
It's all right, Mum. It won't explode.
I don't like bangs.
She covers her ears.
Oh! Bye, Mum. Bye, Dad.
Cheerio, son.
I do wish you'd get a nice car, dear.
Van's cheaper, Mum. No purchase tax.
But a car is so much nicer. Bye.
Doing the washing up.
She was a nice kid, wasn't she?
Didn't say much.
She's shy, very shy. Like you, sweetheart.
Hair all over the shop, too tall.
She can't help that, dear. She's all legs.
Never mind her legs, Ernest. She needs a perm. And he needs a good haircut.
Reading a letter.
Oh, no. He says they're going to get married in a registry office.
Well, that's the modern way, eh?
Oh, it's horrible.
Yes, but neither of them is religious.
I don't want him to be religious. I just want him to get married in a church. It's so much nicer.
In a cafe, Ethel and Raymond are having tea.
And, when are you going to start a family, dear?
Well, I don't know, really, Mum. Probably not at all.
Goodness me, why ever not? I want to be a granny.
Well, Jean's got problems, Mum. Brain trouble.
Brain trouble?
Yeah, well, that's what I call it. As a sort of joke, she goes in and out of the loony bin.
You mean she's mental?
Yep, well, that's one word for it. The other word is schizophrenia.
Oh, dear. Poor thing.
He reaches for her hand.
So I won't be a granny after all.
Never mind, Mum.
Ethel, Ernest, Raymond and Jean are in the countryside, outside a secluded, run-down cottage set at the foot of a hill. Ethel frowns.
What a dump.
Dump? Mum, the government has designated this an Area of Outstanding Natural Beauty, an AONB. It's official.
Well, I still say it's a dump.
The South Downs are at the end of the garden. I give up, I give up.
Raymond steps away and Ernest joins him.
Son, it's the sort of place I always dreamed about.
I know, Dad. I know.
They gaze out over a patchwork of fields. At home.
They seem very happy down there, despite the schizo business.
Yes, I suppose so. I was hoping he'd send his washing home.
Oh, wait. Don't be daft. He's married.
Yes, I know. What's that?
My retirement certificate. 37 years service with the Royal Arsenal Cooperative Society.
Now, I'm not sure I want that on the front room wall.
Well, that's where he's going, Ethel.
Watching TV.
Oh, blimey. Man on the moon, eh?
Oh.
Man on the moon. Fantastic, eh?
What's he doing there?
Well, just walking about a bit.
Then what?
Come back, I suppose.
Perhaps they'll have a picnic. That'd be nice.
I
think the tea would blow away when it came out of the thermos.
Why is it windy up there?
No, it's gravity, dear.
Oh, I see.
Look, he's going to pick up some pebbles to take home.
Just like kiddies at the seaside. Turn it off, will you?
She's lying on the sofa, old age getting the better of her. Now Ethel's in bed during the day, sipping tea. Ernest, Raymond and Jean are with her.
Did you have a good journey, dear?
Oh, yes. Okay, Mum. Fine, fine.
Much traffic on the road?
Well, the A23 was a bit choked up, wasn't it? But after Sutton, it sort of thinned out a bit and, you know, got better.
She reaches for a comb.
Here's a comb, dear.
He glances at Ernest.
Thanks, Mum.
And takes it from her. In a park, Ethel's in a wheelchair.
Remember we used to bring the pram up here?
It's me in the pram now. They used to do nice teas in the balcony before the war. Waitresses in aprons and caps.
We never did go, did we, dear?
Yes. It was lovely.
The yobbos smashed all the windows.
Well, that's your Labour Party for you.
At home one night, Ernest's climbing the stairs in his pyjamas when a doctor bursts out of the master bedroom.
Mr. Briggs!
What?
Is there a telephone? I need to call an ambulance.
Downstairs, doctor. Front room.
Ernest pauses on the landing.
Ethel?
In hospital, patients and their relatives are watching a TV set placed at the end of Ethel's bed.
Why are they all staring at me?
Oh, they're not staring at you, Mum. It's the television. Put it right by your bed.
I don't like them staring at me, and I don't like being in charity ward.
It doesn't mean charity, Mum. It's a girl's name.
What's that music? I can hear music.
Carols, Mum. On the television. It's Christmas. There's the tree, look.
Oh, I hope I'll be home in time for Christmas. When is it?
It was yesterday, Mum. You had your presents yesterday.
Ernest places a hand on Raymond's shoulder, then walks away sadly.
Look at all your cards. Lovely flowers.
Yes, lovely. And our lucky girl.
Biting back tears, Ernest leaves the ward.
Listen, dear. Who was that old man in here just now?
Oh, Mum. That was Dad.
Dad?
You know, Ernest. Your husband.
My husband?
Yes.
Not Victor McLagan?
No, Mum.
I thought he was dead.
Lovely flowers, Mum.
Yes, lovely. And our lucky girl.
Raymond returns the rose to the vase on her bedside table. In the semi-darkness of the living room, Ernest dials a number on the telephone.
Son, is that you?
Yes.
The hospital. They just phoned. She's... I'm going up there.
Leave now.
Okay. I'll see you there. Steady on, old son. Steady on.
Ernest hangs up. At the hospital, in a hallway, Ernest is staring at Ethel's body, which is lying on a trolley wrapped in a white sheet. Raymond appears.
Why is she on a trolley?
I don't know, son.
Look, bloody tissues and vim right by her face. They've put her teeth in all crooked.
I know, son. I don't know.
Ernest rests his face on his son's shoulder. At home, the dinner table's set for two, but Ernest is eating alone.
I still keep laying the table for two, Duck. Daft, isn't it, Susie Puss?
The cat's sprawled over his shoulders.
Nice daffs, aren't they?
Ernest's watching TV. The cat leaps onto the back of his chair and comes to curl up in his lap.
I'll get cocoa in a minute, dear.
Now Ernest's in bed. The cat's on Ethel's pillow, licking its paw.
Good night, Susie.
With the cat draped around his neck, Ernest is eating soup and reading the paper. It's snowing outside. He doubles over in pain, throwing the cat off his shoulders. Clutching his side, he carries his bowl to the kitchen, where he leans over the sink in agony. He tries to catch his breath.
It's okay, Susie.
Outside, snowflakes swirl in the cold winter air and build up on the kitchen window frame. On a quiet hospital ward, Ernest's lying in bed behind a partially closed curtain. Raymond's sitting by the curtain's opening, with Jean standing behind him, hands resting on his shoulders. Raymond takes his father's hand. Ernest's arm is skin and bones, his mouth is open and his eyes are closed. Veiled by the see-through curtain, he appears entirely drained of life. In Ethel and Ernest's bedroom, Raymond removes a framed portrait of his parents as newlyweds from the wall on Ethel's side of the bed. The portrait has left a mark on the faded wallpaper. Raymond's staring at the photo when Jean appears in the doorway.
I suppose I'd better get the Salvation Army to take it all away.